the surplus of the produce of the good land and the corporate worship of God the Father in truthfulness. So it might be somewhat helpful if at the very beginning I give you five words that are the key matters that will be developed. Laboring, surplus, exhibit, worship, truthfulness. So we'll take these one by one, presenting the truth and seeking the Lord's guidance to open the way for deeper and deeper experiences. Now, the presentation, that is the method of this particular message, is somewhat different from my message in 1 and 7. There will not be any speaking at the microphone after the message. One reason is I need the time to fully release the burden. But there is a more important reason, and that is it's very likely that after the message is over, you'll have the feeling, before I say anything, I need to pray. So we will end the meeting with praying, and then our dear brother giving a 2-minute confirming word. So now before we come to Roman numeral 1, because it has two key words, surplus and labor, I want to share something concerning, as clear as I can, regarding what laboring is. And once you have the definition, I think it will be somewhat clear. You might just glimpse back at this year. Maybe not right now, but at your time with the Lord. And just consider, Lord, how much each day did I labor on the all-inclusive Christ? Or was I mainly existing on manna? And then the Lord then might motivate you as a new year is beginning to say, Lord, please train me, enable me to labor on you day by day so that I may have not just the produce, that is the issue, but you have to have the surplus. Now, we'll see when we read some of these points, but I just want to give this particular one-sentence definition of laboring. It might be helpful to you. Throughout the day, in every situation, and in all our circumstances, we should exercise our spirit to contact the Lord and experience Him. Each day, every situation, all circumstances, in the midst of them, you exercise your spirit to contact the Lord right then and there. So this is the basic thought. To labor is to exercise our spirit in order to gain portions of the all-inclusive Christ. And we'll see when we go through the first section of the outline under Roman numeral 1 that in typology, the children of Israel, when they were living in the good land, they all had their portion. And they had to labor for two reasons. The first is that they stay alive and their family stay alive. You are laboring to get all the life supply, all the vegetables and everything else for you and your family. That is the produce. But then there is something called the surplus. What is that? That is the most important, the most significant issue of your laboring that's not directly for you. It's for you to go to the temple at the times of worshiping God, and that portion, that surplus, is for worshiping God and for sharing it with one another. So that is the typology. And so a basic thought then for us, and we'll come to this with some intensity in several minutes from now, that when we come to a church meeting, could be a prayer meeting, but as an illustration, more likely a Lord's Day morning meeting, how do we come? What do we have? What can we offer? Have we labored? Have we produced the produce for my living as a child of God? Do I have at least some surplus, which is for praising the Lord and even more worshiping God? So this is a basic thought. We use the word surplus because the people of Israel put aside a certain portion of their produce from the labor on the good land for the purpose of worshiping God. I know this is way ahead of another part of the outline, but I have the sense to ask you again in a tender way. Today, have you worshiped God? God. And we will see as this age ends, and especially during the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, there will be the battle of Satan wants to be worshipped and God wants to be worshipped. And we're heading toward that situation. And the fact is, and I'm just sharing this based upon a principle, that a portion of the living saints will be raptured. They will be mature to the full extent, and for various reasons, other dear brothers and sisters are not yet mature, so they will be here on the earth during those 3.5 years. And there you will sense the Antichrist with the false prophet will be demanding people to worship Satan. And the eternal gospel will be declared by an angel, you must worship God. So we're opening our being to the Lord that the Lord can establish in all of us the unshakable commitment to worship God and God only. The surplus of the produce of the good land typifies Christ. The people of Israel offered Canaan's produce to God and enjoyed it with God. The enjoyment of the surplus of the produce of the good land typifies the corporate enjoyment of Christ as we worship to God. Just consider these words. The corporate enjoyment of Christ as our worship to God. Every Lord's Day morning, in rare places, the Lord's table meeting is in the evening, but whatever time it is, God is still waiting for worshiping. D, according to the New Testament, fulfillment of this type. When we come to worship God in a corporate way, we must bring the Christ whom we have experienced. In these words, we must bring. It's not an overstatement. In the Word, this is a divine command. And we'll see about this right now as we are about to go to Roman numeral 2. But we need to see another matter. And that is, there was a law or a declaration to the children of Israel that they were not allowed to come to the temple and worship empty-handed. You can't just come and say, I love God, I honor Him, I appreciate all that He's done. This is not sufficient. We cannot come empty-handed. And let me read just a few statements concerning this from the Bible and then a few from ministry material. Exodus 23:15 B, no one shall appear before me empty. Now our God is merciful. Most early mornings, the first word I need to utter in contacting the Lord is, I need your mercy. I cannot live without mercy. Mercy opens the way for grace. Because this is a commandment. You shall not appear before me empty. But I leave this to the Lord. I'm not going to try to stir this up. If the Lord in His shepherding of you and His training you, and He may have you look back, not just this year, but the last several years. How did you come to the Lord's table meeting every Lord's Day morning? Then eventually you have to say, empty. 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 I mentioned to the brothers, I do not know the nature and characteristics of the meetings of the churches, and I don't want to know. And I'm not condemning them where I am, but I have to be honest, especially in this training message. We just sing a hymn and then pray or say something based upon the lines of the hymn. And someone calls Another hymn. We hymn. And I was in a meeting maybe earlier this year where we were singing hymn after hymn, and after one hymn was sung, one dear saint, and then another one, tried to praise the Lord out of something they were experiencing and enjoying. And after they worshiped the Lord, a brother, not a young one, he just said, "Let's come back to the hymn." This is possibly, only God knows, so I'm going to be careful. This indicates we come with nothing. We come. We're glad that we come. We're glad anyone that comes. But to come empty-handed is really a serious matter. Then in Exodus 34:20b, "They shall not appear before me empty again." And then Deuteronomy 16:16b, "They shall not appear before Jehovah empty-handed." And surely, when we all stand before the judgment seat of the Son of God, we will not be empty-handed. But I sincerely believe this. I can't prove it. That while we are having this meeting and this message right now, Christ as the high priest is interceding for all of us. I really mean it. Day and night. Because he knows you're an open vessel. He knows you're consecrated to him. He knows you love him. He also knows where you are and what kind of development you need to have. So he's interceding, praying for each one. And we know from Romans 8, the Spirit likewise is interceding from within us. And so just a few statements from ministry material. We cannot serve God empty-handed. Since we have Christ, we should not come to God empty-handed. We should not come to the meetings empty-handed. Everyone should come with produce. No one should come empty-handed. To come empty-handed is to come with nothing of Christ to offer and nothing of Christ to share with others. My dear ones, this is a training. The Lord wants to touch us, motivate us, perfect us, enlighten us, so we don't go on week after week empty-handed, that we have the surplus of our laboring on Christ day by day. Even if it's a very small portion, it's not the size, it's the nature of it. And you're just looking to come to the Lord's table and just praise the Lord. And when there's the time to worship the Father, it's not just quickly sing one hymn. There's just something emerging from you to the Father. Even though you know this last period of time, under the sovereign God of heaven and earth, you are in a very difficult, even perhaps painful situation. But because of the Lord's ministry to you directly and his interceding, in the midst of your situations, you were laboring on Christ by exercising your spirit. And so you don't know what is being accumulated in you. It is portions of the all-inclusive Christ for God the Father. To come empty-handed is to come... Okay, I read that. That's sufficient. So now we come back to section 2 of the outline. If we faithfully labor on the all-inclusive Christ, we will have the riches of Christ as the produce to exhibit Christ in the church meetings. It's possible that some brothers or sisters, especially sisters that are quite musical and they know the hymns quite thoroughly, they wondered, Brother Ron, why didn't we sing hymn 864? Let us exhibit Christ. Let us exhibit Christ. Let's bring the surplus to the church and thus exhibit Christ. Well, I had the feeling that if while we're singing that, deep within we may realize we're singing it, but we're not doing it. So I have a quotation from it later to motivate us to labor on Christ for this reason. The proper life of Christians is to labor on Christ every day and thus have the rich surplus of Christ to bring to the meetings for a rich exhibition of Christ. We're not coming to the meeting to display anything related to ourself or our natural constitution. We are here to exhibit Christ. Again, God the Father is waiting for this, an exhibition. And the enemy hates this, is opposing this, fighting against this. Let's put him to shame and defeat him to the uttermost. We will come together corporately and exhibit Christ to the whole universe. Amen. And these are not just words. We all are bringing the highest portion of the Christ who is presently making his home in our heart. And we do this corporately, so there's an exhibition of Christ. When we come together in the church meetings to have an exhibition of Christ. I have things to say about meetings a little bit later, but we need to know the reason we are coming together to have an exhibition of Christ. So it seems to me that even in the prayer meeting, if we have genuine prayers that originate with the Lord himself, as indicated in John 15, verse 7, abide in me, and my words abide in you. Pray and ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. That we have taken in what is on the Lord's heart, then that becomes our prayer, not in eloquent words, but in words taught by the Spirit. Two, through our daily experience of the riches of Christ, these riches will become an exhibition of the produce of Christ. So yes, I'm emphasizing this word, exhibition. This is a general comment about at least the vast majority of denomination meetings, who is expressed, who is exhibited? It's mainly the preacher And then there may be some singers, and the rest just come and sit down and sing the hymns. Tomorrow morning, all over, let's just say California, since we're here temporarily, many of you, how many, some are genuine believers, some are just religious ones. Are they going to come for the exhibition of Christ? There is a huge, I'm not going to name of it, there's a huge Presbyterian building in Los Angeles. And they have remained quite evangelical and biblical. And so they always hire an outstanding preacher, wherever he's from. And so that is what's expressed. My dear brothers, some of you are marked out by the Lord to do what he said to Timothy through Paul in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. Paul was giving his final word. And do you recall what he said concerning ministry? He said, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. And that is, you are able to minister Christ and exhibit Christ without glorifying yourself. We know from John 17, the Lord's Prayer, and three steps, the highest one is the glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one in the glory of God. You know, glory is God expressed in a marvelous way. So when we are one in the glory of God, there'll be no exhibition of the self. No one. And this will be the ultimate oneness the Lord prayed for. Our meeting should always be an exhibition to show forth what Christ is, what Christ has, and what Christ does. KB, we meet to exhibit not only the Christ given to us by God, but also the Christ we have produced. What's this? We have produced the Christ on whom we have labored and whom we have experienced. This is the Christ whom we come together to exhibit. Well, let's come back to the first part here. If we continually labor on Christ, we will have a rich surplus of Christ to bring to the meetings. I think I better go back to point B for various reasons. We meet to exhibit not only Christ given to us by God, but also the Christ we have produced. Okay, this is where I should remain, going a little too fast here. Well, you didn't bring Christ into being as a person. It's just that through your laboring, by exercising your spirit to contact the Lord in every situation you are in, you are laboring on your portion of the good land. That is, you are laboring on your portion of the all-inclusive Christ. And may I kindly remind you, you have a portion of Christ that no one else has or ever will have. That's your portion of the all-inclusive Christ. Now learn to labor on your portion, and you will bring forth Christ for your need, for your experience, for your enjoyment, and even more, the surplus for worshiping God. So that's what it means to produce Christ. But you are not doing this by your own effort. It is Christ dwelling in you who is making his home in you and saturating you. So he is in you, enabling you to bring him forth, the riches of Christ. So then we must exhibit the Christ we have produced, the Christ on whom we have labored. I'm repeating, I know. And whom we have experienced. This is the Christ whom we come together to exhibit. And eventually, this will be in the new heaven and the new earth. Millions and millions of us will be doing this. But the Lord wants to see a significant measure, a portion of the saints coming together to exhibit Christ corporately. And again, only you have your measure, your portion. And just at the beginning of every new week, Lord, I want to labor on you and I ask you to work in me. That on the next Lord's Day morning, I'm going to come, the Christ I produced by my laboring on you. And you won't feel personally happy, but there'll be deep peace and joy. And the Father will be so joyful because he wants his Son to be exhibited to the whole universe. Now to see. If we continually labor on Christ, we will have the rich surplus of Christ to bring it to the meetings for a rich exhibition of Christ. So again, the word exhibition, we're emphasizing this, that, brothers, and I believe in some of you, you may not have the liberty in the Lord to talk about it, but I know what it's like. You could be a young person, but deep within there's been the calling to minister. I hope it's okay to just tell you, some of you heard this before, but I think you can endure it for the repetition. I was saved just a couple of weeks before becoming 16. That was in August, in ancient time, 1955. And then in October, you know, I was just trying to pray. I just knelt down by my bed and prayed. And the Lord said, Ron, I want you to be a minister. And I said, I can't. Next night, Ron, I want you to be a minister. I can't. And a couple of weeks later, I was asked to give what was called a message or a sermon in this Presbyterian Church meeting. So I did, and something happened. We all realized this. So I knelt down again by the side of the bed. The Lord said, Ron, I want you to be a minister. And I knew I couldn't say now, honestly, I can't. So I said, I won't. Next night, Ron, I won't. And somehow, by the night of October 31st, Ron, I want you to be a minister. And I said, I will. But that required a lot. And the first conference I attended to after coming into the Lord's recovery was in July of 1967. And Brother Lee was ministering based upon 2 Corinthians. And he made this important statement, the difference between a gift, the gift of speaking. Some are born this way, just as you're gifted in other things. But ministry is the issue of revelation and suffering. And then he made this suggestion about a prayer to offer to the Lord. And that is, Lord, for the benefit of the ministry of Christ, give me the experiences, whatever they are, and carry them out. And from that day moment, that moment, the sovereign God has not ceased one aspect after another. And it's still going on. And as it's going on, I praise Him, I worship Him, and now, I've mentioned this many, many times, but I had the leading to say it again. We need another generation raised up. We will pour out our whole being to be available to you, apart from what is only for the Lord. And some, they will be led by the Lord to become leading brothers in churches, even elders. And there will be a number of others that will be led into the work. And they will become a co-worker developing. But what is in my heart all the time is, the Lord needs to be some who will minister the word. And we just leave this to the Lord so that you can participate in this marvelous corporate exhibition of the all-inclusive Christ. And your ministering is not the expression of you, but of Christ. And it helps the saints to turn inwardly and realize right here and now, Christ is growing in me. Christ is making His home in my heart. Christ is transforming me. I will be conformed into the image of the firstborn Son of God. Just pause, just to consider. Right now, the all-inclusive Christ as the life-giving Spirit is in you, ministering Himself to you, that you may exhibit Him more and more. D, whenever we come together, regardless of the kind of meeting we are having, we should come with the Christ experienced by us as the surplus to be offered to God and exhibited to the whole universe and to the enemy, putting him to shame. Probably tomorrow morning at the Lord's Table meeting, we have the Lord's Table meeting, and then the rest of the time the saints will, one by one, maybe speaking a minute or so, just to share what really touched them and what enlightened them. And we all are helped from one another in this way. But let's say we have 30 minutes, because of the nature of time, you come together for the Lord's table, and after we've partaken of the elements, then the Christ within us takes the lead to worship the Father with our hymns. He himself sang a hymn after he established a new covenant and went to the garden to pray. And we will just all present something of Christ, even in this week, that has been so endearing and precious to us. This would be delightful. But look at the rest of this. As the surplus to be offered to God and exhibited to the whole universe and to the enemy. The enemy, he feels quite happy. He can look at, I would just say, the Roman Catholic Church, all the things all over the earth, and the denominations and all different kinds of things. He knows what's being exhibited there. He doesn't want Christ to be exhibited. And he knows the only way that Christ can be exhibited corporately is in the recovered local churches all over the earth. And so we're not going to focus on putting the enemy to shame. He's not worthy of our attention. But we should realize, as we are exhibiting Christ corporately, we're putting the enemy to shame. Because angels, whether they're the serving angels of God or the evil angels that are in Satan's evil kingdom, we don't know how much we're being observed. And we shouldn't try to consider it. But it's a fact. And so it's of tremendous significance that we come together and exhibit Christ in this marvelous way that it affects the whole universe. Okay? Where am I going now? Okay. I'll find it sooner or later. Okay. To such a church life is an exhibition of Christ, an expression of Christ. We need to bring the surplus of Christ to every meeting to exhibit Christ. We need to enjoy Christ in our daily life and come together to exhibit him. If you have the thought or the feeling right now that Brother Ron is repeating this thought in different ways, you are correct. I am deliberately repeating for exhibition. Oh, to enjoy Christ in our daily life and come together and exhibit him. If you've been enjoying him in your daily life, what will be expressed? Not just Christ as Christ, but your joy. It's not an action. It's just flowing out. I'm so happy. I'm so joyful. But just Christ has been to me this week. Hasn't Christ been marvelous to you in these 6 days? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, to have proper Christian meetings, we need to contact the Lord daily in our personal life and then come to the meetings with the realization and understanding that we are coming to exhibit Christ and to share Christ with others. We can't just decide I'm going to just do this from now on. Maybe by next Thursday, you've forgotten it. It has to be worked into our being that why are we coming to this meeting? What is the purpose of it? I'm coming to be part of the corporate exhibition of Christ. And no matter what your day was, or the week was before the next Lord's Day morning, no matter what the failures were, just have some time to just present it all to the Lord. He knows. Confess anything you need to, and He will apply the power of His blood. You will apply Him as the reality of all the offerings. And now you are fully at peace. And because peace is reigning in your heart, now the enjoyment can come forth. And Lord, I'm coming to be part of your corporate exhibition. So now in F, we have a portion of that hymn. Whene'er we meet with Christ endued, the surplus of His plenitude, we offer unto God as food, and thus exhibit Christ. There are verses that say, God needs food. We're offering Him as food. Let us exhibit Christ. Let us exhibit Christ. We'll bring His surplus to the church and thus exhibit Christ. Brothers, please read point F. Sisters, Roman numeral 3, we need to labor on the all-inclusive Christ in order to have a surplus of Christ to bring to the church meetings for the corporate expression of God, our Father. So there are two key aspects here in this one statement. Church meetings. We bring the surplus of Christ to church meetings. And then we read the corporate worship of God our Father. Now, those that are much younger, I don't know how your nights are. You may just go to sleep, you're deeply asleep, then you don't wake up until sometime in the morning. But some of us who are in another age area, maybe like last night again, woke up at 4 o'clock for a particular reason, then I was wide awake. And then the Lord, maybe that happened on purpose because He wanted me to consider this. This. How to meet. And there are, I was told, 80 copies of this available. These were messages given in the spring of 1969. And some of us in this room or who are in hearing it from a distance you were there. And we were all very young spiritually and even quite young humanly. Like I was just like 29. And these were just marvelous messages on meeting. And I just want to read some of the titles of some of the messages. By being church conscious, with the resurrected Christ, you're meeting with the resurrected Christ. For the ascended Christ, in the Lord's name, with a proper life in spirit, by demonstrating our spirit, by Christ singing in our praising, by praising through our experience of Christ, with Christ-filled praises. There's a total of 23 subjects here. And I look back on this, I'm just so refreshed. And what was in our brother 54 years ago, to have an informal training, two or three nights in the week on different subjects, but on how to meet. But there's no how when it comes to a method. It comes to have this kind of constitution and this kind of experience of Christ. And what we are corporately experiencing, we are meeting for the ascended Christ. What a meeting. Inwardly, there's a prayer, Lord, in the next year, may all the churches have a Lord to an ascended Christ meeting. We don't know why we're coming, but will be the substance. Maybe even it's a prayer meeting. And maybe the decision made in heaven and what he's praying about, what he's interceding about, is that I want them to meet and praise me as the ascended Christ. What kind of prayers would that be? But you can't plan it. That would be a human organization. And so I'm just refreshed and reminded of these endearing messages 54 years ago that our dear brother, the minister of the age, this was his view of church meetings. This is what church meetings are like. Of all different kinds, of different aspects. And as this is coming out, I believe the Lord right now is interceding. And there's a prayer going up from within us, from within the body. You may not be composing a prayer, but the prayer may be rising up because you're a member of the body and the body is praying for the recovery of this kind of meetings full of Christ. Now I can read through this portion. And again I've considered what is in point A. For more than 40 years, spoken in 1982, 41 years later, that means it's been more than 81 years that this battle opened up. I have been, for more than 40 years, I have been fighting the battle concerning the genuine worship of God. This battle has not yet been won. And as far as I know, I'm willing to be adjusted, and I really mean that. But I would say the same thing. For more than 81 years, there's been a fighting, the battle, concerning the genuine worship of God. And I hope I'm not overstating, but brothers and sisters, do we have to wait another 81 years? Isn't it time for this battle to be won? Why do we not personally and corporately in all the churches, is there such a thing as a kind of church corporately, just giving themselves to the Lord in one accord? Lord, the time has come to win the battle concerning genuine worship of God. Not just worship, genuine worship. That's why the last section is on truthfulness. Very touching and very enlightening. Okay, B, for our worship of Him, the Father requires that we come to Him with a harvest of Christ. Okay, this is what the Father requires. This is what's in His heart. But He's not coming in a powerful way and say, I demand you to come tomorrow in the meeting with the riches of Christ. If you don't, you're going to be dealt with like you've never been before. That's not our Father. That's not how He relates to us, even though He's been waiting for centuries. I don't know when there's been this genuine worship. Maybe for a few decades in the first century. Only He knows. But our worship of Him, for our worship, the Father requires this. And we shouldn't respond this way. I can't do it. It's just way too much. Do the three-step response. First is, yes, Lord, amen. 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 Genuine worship of God. Point two, I can't do it. The Lord says, I know. Point three, let me do it in you. Let me do it with you. Let me do it through you. I've used this illustration many, many times. You know, just this simple commandment for all married brothers. Pay your attention. From Ephesians chapter 5, brothers, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. That's how you should love. So a dear couple, they got married last Saturday. I hope maybe they're still on their honeymoon or whatever. I'm not going to walk up to them and say, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up. But this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. So any married brothers here, have you responded in the three steps to say, amen, this is your word? Step two, you know, and she really, really knows, I can't do this. And the Lord would say, I am love itself. Let me make you the same as I am. And so we need to come to the church meetings with the riches of Christ. And we know from Ephesians 3, the riches of Christ are unsearchable. The riches of Christ. Again, that's the outcome of our laboring. D, it is crucial that we diligently labor on Christ to have our hands full of Christ. and then come to the church meetings to enjoy this rich and glorious Christ with God's children and with God the Father himself. Honestly, personally, I don't remember. Maybe there was one decades ago. I can't remember being in a table meeting, in a church meeting like this, that there was diligent labor in the daily life of all the saints, and they had the riches to bring to the church meetings, or the corporate worship of God the Father. He will be exalted, and God will be pleased and satisfied. I'm repeating point C to emphasize point D. It is crucial that we diligently labor on Christ, to have our hands full of Christ. Full of Christ. This means whatever our capacity is now, it's full. It's full. This is the requirement that only the indwelling Christ can carry out. But I want to be filled. And then come to the church meetings to enjoy the rich and glorious Christ with God's children and with God the Father himself. I'm emphasizing this. We want to have a mutual enjoyment of sharing with our enjoyment, our experience with one another. And then we're not only directly worshiping God the Father, but God the Father is joining us in this corporate enjoyment. There's just, I believe, in the hearts of many of us, I'm not alone, but it's certainly my testimony, is almost a crying out, Father God, you're longing for this. You've been waiting for this. You're not demanding this in a legal way, but this is your being. Father, may we be the living saints on the earth to fulfill and satisfy the desire of your heart. Every Lord's Day meeting, we enjoy our experience Christ with one another and with you. The E, whenever we come to the Lord's table meeting to remember the Lord and worship the Father, we must come with the riches of Christ produced by our daily laboring on Christ. So here I'm trying to put together the Lord's table meeting, the worship of the Father, our coming with the riches of Christ, the riches of Christ produced by our daily laboring on Christ. So I'm coming back to laboring. If there's no laboring, there'll be nothing else. There will just be, we will be a genuine local church standing on the ground of oneness. We will be. But our Lord's Day meeting will be almost identical with the denominations. Although none of them come in kind of sloppy dress like some do. Many come streaming in 10 or 15 minutes late to the Lord's table meeting, as often has been done, but it's pretty much the same. Can we all agree it's time for this to stop? And time for there to be a corporate turn to come together with the riches of Christ, but it's all based upon our daily laboring on Christ. If there's no laboring on Christ, there's no produce. Then there's no surplus. Then there's nothing to offer to God. But we are sincere. We know this is the Lord's table. We want to obey Him and come and have the Lord's table, and we do. And that's precious. But all we can do is call hymns. Otherwise, maybe we would just be silent. I don't know what would happen. I don't want to learn what would happen. And we just can't automatically say from now on, we're going to come in the riches of Christ. There has to be personally and a corporate daily laboring on the all-inclusive Christ. Our daily laboring on Christ. Not under just circumstances, you just say, why should I be laboring? I'm lying on a bed in a hospital with all kinds of wires attached to my heart because of an open heart surgery. This isn't the time to labor on Christ. Of course, it's the time to labor on Christ. You have a mingled spirit, don't you? And you are there. And I'm referring to something last year, but I had a helper come as early as the hospital allowed her to come and stayed as long as she was allowed to stay. And with my companion, we could enjoy Christ together. This is not something marvelous. That any brother and sister can do this. This is what the Lord is looking for. What a defeat of the enemy that in any and all circumstances we are laboring on the all-inclusive Christ. To worship God with Christ is to worship Him collectively with all the children of God by enjoying Christ with one another and with God. We need to produce enough of Christ so that there will be a surplus to share with others and to offer the best part of the produce to God, the Father, for His joy, delight, and satisfaction. I'm referring now to a line of a hymn that was written in 1973 regarding experiencing and offering Christ to God. And that is, we may not realize it, but when it comes to the divine love that's being developed in us, we love, 1 John 4:19, because He first loved us. And it's more and more, it's going to be the peak, according to 2 Peter, the highest development for not just brotherly love, it's agape. Now we have this love. And we love the Lord, we love God, we love one another, we love human beings. Impartiality. But eventually, you may have a sense that there is something deep within you that's developing. A love that will be poured out to the Lord when you are in direct contact with Him. That is the best. It's not for your wife or your husband, for your children, your grandchildren, to all the saints. And not just an ordinary, yet genuine love for the triune God. Something is developing, as it was in that woman who was at the Lord's feet. What she poured out signifies, but we're going to pour out on Him. The best, the highest, the deepest. love itself returning to him. So he gets the best part. Does he deserve the best part? Now F, in these last days, the Lord will recover the genuine experience of Christ for a surplus of his riches in the meetings or the building of the church as the body of Christ, and for the bride making herself ready for the bridegroom's coming. To be exact, the Lord is not making the bride ready. The bride is making herself ready by all that's been presented, plus much more in these messages. And by the way, I just have some responsibility before the Lord just to correct a speaking mistake someone made in one of the speaking times about the Lord speaking to the messengers of the churches. And this dear one speaking said, well, it can be anyone, you know, any brother, any sister. That is not the case. You read the end of Revelation chapter 1 in his hand. He has the messengers and he has the churches. And so it's someone designated and prepared by God. So we just need to know the truth there. It's not a position. But it makes a great difference if we know the Lord's feeling and his view and his interest in where we are. We want to know the real situation according to him. Because we know this all-inclusive Christ, once we are open to him, he will just keep flowing into us. We should not be afraid of being in the light of God and knowing our real situation. Now the last section, in about 8 minutes. According to John 4:23-24, we need to worship God our Father in spirit and in truthfulness. Truthfulness is the revealed divine reality, the triune God dispensed into man in the Son, Jesus Christ, becoming our genuineness and sincerity so that we may live a life that corresponds with the divine light and worship God as God seeks according to what he is. Now we're going to intensify or enlarge our understanding of these key things about the genuineness, the sincerity. This is what God requires, to worship him in spirit and in truthfulness. Spirit's not enough. There has to be truthfulness. That means the divine reality needs to saturate your whole being so that in a human way, but it's humanly divine, your very being, your person, your speaking is sincere. It's genuine. Be out of the enjoyment of the divine reality issue human truthfulness, sincerity, and genuineness. Just in your ordinary human life, outside of the church life, where you people are working where you are or in school or whatever. Where's the truthfulness? Something like it's non-existent. But what the Lord is looking for is this. See, truthfulness is the human genuineness sincerity, honesty, trustworthiness, and faithfulness as a human virtue and as an issue of the divine reality. Don't you want to be a member of the body like this, where the triune God makes you genuine, sincere, honest, trustworthy, and faithful? D. Truthfulness in John 4:23-24 denotes the divine reality becoming man's genuineness and sincerity for the true worship of God. This is what's in the Lord's heart. Not just any kind of worship. Genuine, sincere. And I believe many of us right now, the light is shining on us. But it's very touching. I don't know if you have met brothers and sisters. They would never say this about themselves. But they're transparent. They're sincere. They're trustworthy. They're genuine. Don't you want to be that kind of God-man? Yet you're not conscious of it because you're conscious of the divine reality. So truthfulness in John 4:23-24 denotes the divine reality becoming man's genuineness and sincerity for the true worship of God. This is what will deeply, deeply touch the heart of God the Father. You not only have been laboring on the all-inclusive Christ, you have saved the best portion of the surplus for me. You know how to exercise your spirit to abide in the mingled spirit. But I've been waiting for this, and now I realize you're not only that. You are genuine. You are sincere. You are real. I'm overflowing with joy that I have such children on the earth worshiping me in this way. E, the divine reality is Christ as the fountain of living water, the life-giving spirit partaken of and drunk by the believers to be the reality within them, which eventually becomes their genuineness and sincerity in which they worship God with the worship he seeks. To worship the Father in truthfulness is to worship him with the Christ who has saturated our being to become our personal reality through our experience and enjoyment of the triune God as the divine reality. So now just to repeat, laboring. Let's labor on our portion of Christ. Surplus to bring the best to offer God the Father in worship. Exhibit to come together corporately to exhibit the Christ that we've been experiencing. Worship. The enemy wants people to worship him. Satan tried to get the Lord to bow down and worship him. He refused. There's a battle concerning worship, but we will worship God. Amen. And the truthfulness. And so for the next minute and a half, with someone nearby, would you pray for about a minute and a half? I don't have the clock. I believe Brother Bob will have the intuition. He'll come up. He'll know when it's time. And would you pray first about laboring on Christ to have a surplus? And then for the second part, pray to worship God the Father in truthfulness. Just pray this sincerely and open your being, and this will complete the message. You're an open vessel for the Lord to do this wonderful work in you. All glory be to God. Please pray.